Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, tell me about immigration. The president used his executive authority. Now his political nemesis have gone to federal courts, and there's a hold on the president. The concept being that he may have gone too far using his executive authority for things that ought to be done by Congress.
Well, you know, the truth be told, the administrations prior to the President Obama administration have invoked the executive order many more times than this president. And certainly congressional action and Supreme Court of the United States decisions heretofore suggest that it's within that realm that he's doing things that were embraced by those decisions and those actions of Congress. I think what you have here is an attempt to slow down the progress that the president initiated with the executive orders. And look, the executive order was reached to because Congress did nothing. I should say the House of Representatives did nothing.
The president keeps saying, you don't have to yell about my doing it. Why don't you just give me a bill?
And I think he's right on. I think that message is very, very factual. The House of Representatives won't take up the bill. I believe they won't take it up because they know it would pass. The United States Senate, in a very bipartisan way, approved a reasonable bill. I think there could have been improvements, but it had a sound pathway to citizenship. It dealt with border controls. It had put resources into the department that deals with the naturalization. But it also was scored by the CBO, by the Congressional Budget Office, to be nearly $1 trillion worth of deficit reduction. So these are the same people who harp on reducing the deficit and now are rejecting that offer simply because they don't want to do immigration reform, I think, for political reasons.
And what are those political reasons?
I think that they're concerned that most of the immigrants that would be naturalized, who then could vote, may not be
Republicans.
May not tend to think like they do. Exactly.
Yeah. And so, but don't they realize that they're digging their own graves? Because the more they take these perceived anti-Hispanic actions, the more likely it is that they won't get any Hispanic votes.
Right. I mean, the more you bang the drum here, the more you're going to get noticed. And, you know, again, to have walked away from a bipartisan measure that the U.S. Senate did nearly 2 years ago, we could have taken care of this business. So now we're using these same elements, if you will, for a reason not to fund DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. And so that shutdown still looms. We're growing into the last few days, 10 or 11 days left before the DHS is, you know, going to be shut down. There's about four work days remaining between now and that February 28th deadline. And if we were to shut down DHS, it would be an incredible statement, a poor statement of how we're just not working. And, you know, the Republicans said, we've got both houses of Congress. We're going to make things happen. Watch this action. Well, the inaction is what we're seeing now. And you're about to shut down the DHS. You control both houses of Congress. You could get this done. Do a clean bill. That's all we're asking for. We had of a clean bill that we introduced in the House, all the Democrats have signed on. So we need precious few Republicans. And we
but
can
you,
get
you're
it
saying, I'm sorry, Paul, but you're saying you would get them because there are many Republicans who would have to vote for this bill, so scared are they of alienating Hispanic population.
That or simply because they do believe, they may be moderate enough to believe that this is a good thing to do. And for us to hold back that whole concept because you've got a branch of extreme thinkers in your caucus, in your Republican caucus, is not rationale sound enough. You're putting your own party politics ahead of the policy that's best for the nation. And we need to govern by the soundness of immigration reform that can avoid a DHS shutdown. You know, we would have about 40,000 Border Patrol agents and Customs and Border Protection officers that would be without pay. When you think about that, you know, one of their big concerns was borders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and now they're willing to put that at risk. And I don't care how Speaker Boehner tries to spin it. It's not the Democrats that are standing in the way. You control both houses. Get the work done. And your counterparts in the United States Senate said, we can work with the Democrats here and we can get a bill done for a sound pathway to citizenship. We can have a transformational bill for immigration's sake. So we're standing in the way in the House. And it's the Republican leadership that I'm convinced is concerned that if you bring this bill to the floor, it would pass significantly.
Let me change subjects. We only have a couple of minutes, but you served in the legislature with Sheldon Silver.
Yes.
Now you see that he's been arrested or brought in by Preet Bharara, and there is this, you know, the old business about there's honest bribery and dishonest bribery. Has the line shifted?
You know, I don't know enough of the details of the case. Has it shifted? You know, there may be unethical things that happen, but they're not illegal.
Yeah.
I will say this, that I revere the institution.
Oh, the assembly.
Yeah. I had served there for 25 years.
Wow.
Felt like I got a number of good things done, from mental health parity to power for jobs and energy transformation issues. Speaker Silver was very helpful in that attempt. And, you know, when I look at the schools and the hospitals that I serve and the policies and the resources that were brought that way, they were incredible. And so I'm going to watch this with keen interest, but, you know, you hate to see these sort of scars come upon the institution. And, you know, time will tell whether or not the allegations are indeed, you know,
the damage is done. I mean, the
damage is done. And you know, I think that I certainly wish Speaker Hastie the best as they try to, you know, embrace reform and alternative actions that will, again, strengthen the partnership with the people of the state of New York.
So there's a proposal on the floor from the governor that politicians who get arrested and who are convicted should lose their pensions. What say you?
It's probably a sound proposal. I know that that's been offered by individual legislators in the Senate and Assembly. I think it's the kind of reform that will probably get a sound review, especially in these last couple of years where we've seen so much human failure.
The governor has proposed many things, including a Moral Endowment Commission, other things. So there's some, including me, I have to be honest with you, that believe that, you know, you can't take him at his word that he really wants something, because he's already told us that if he needs to trade it for a budget or something else, he'll do it. So now he comes along and says, take their pensions away if they're convicted. But I don't know that I believe him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the proof will be in the pudding, I guess. You know, we'll see what the final product is. But the public deserves to have that trust they placed in us to be honored. And in order to be effective as a legislature, be effective as a governor, to be effective as a state government, that trust has to be there. And I think whatever we can do to transition a situation, to build trust again. And a lot of it is perception. Perception determines reception.
Well, Paul Tonko, we are so grateful that you take the time to come and talk to us the way that you have. You're a great hero as far as I'm concerned, and I just want to thank you again for being here.
Well, Dr. Chartok, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.